I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Expected now, the revised forecast has us in the mid-80s.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
It is indeed the KSL Greenhouse Show. Sitting in for Maria Chaleos, I'm Dave Meekham, and of course, alongside my good buddy, Ton Bettis. It's always fun to be here and be able to talk gardening with you, Ton. And here we are. Show's only 1 hour left.
I forgot to turn on my mic.
It's not a good show unless you do that.
Yeah, at least once a show.
It happens at least once, right?
Yeah. Yeah, 1 hour left. We have a bunch of text questions, but it's time for the Waterwise segment.
Let's talk Waterwise.
Waterwise Tips at 10 with the KSL Greenhouse Show. We save you time, money, and work in your yard and garden.
Now, Waterwise, we got an interesting spin on saving water today.
Yeah, it's we hear about, you know, all the time. You can only water once a week and only do so much, but we've been trying to emphasize the importance of trees in water conservation. It seems counterintuitive because we need to water.
You just mentioned them. The willows, you know.
Yeah.
And
I'm
so
not
much
talking
water, but
willows and cottonwoods, but there are many desirable trees that need to be kept healthy. And what the one thing we don't realize about trees or don't think about is that they require water on a different schedule than your lawn. And so because they're, you know, people think that when they see a tree and it has a big canopy, that there's a mirror image of that canopy underneath where the roots are. And that's not true. 90% of your roots are in the top 2 feet of soil.
Right. But you have, roots have different jobs,
they
right?
They do. And so on your shade trees, because those roots are in the top 2 feet, you want to water around the tree. If it's not in the lawn, probably every 10 days, so that water can percolate down into the soil to a depth of 18 inches to maybe 2 feet. Doing this will mimic what the trees would see in the wild, to where they get occasional heavy rainstorms in forest situations.
Mm-hmm.
And that mimics also that how, because you're mimicking how they're watered, it actually makes it easier for them to take up nutrients out of the soil, because they can't really take up nutrients in a waterlogged soil. And so if you water every couple of weeks and then let it dry out between irrigations, your trees are less likely to have nutrient deficiencies like iron chlorosis because they're being watered correctly.
Interesting.
So that's another thing to consider. But if trees are in the lawn, then, you know, water your once or twice a week with, if you're on restrictions. But on a day you can water, I would get a hose and sprinkler hooked up to your secondary water and go out toward the edge of the drip line of the tree and just move that sprinkler under the tree so that you're watering that outer edge, because that's where most of the feeder roots are going to be. It's not next to the trunk on a large tree. But the advantage to doing this is that if you have large shade trees, you might actually save your lawn from going dormant, because a lawn will only need to be watered about half as much when it's in shade during the summer than when it's in full blast sun. So there's one aspect. And then another thing to consider is that those trees, if they're planted in the right spots, shade your home.
Yes. And that provides all kind of benefits.
If you drive in the country and you see old farmsteads, you will see trees planted around the entire perimeter, because that's how they kept the home cool. And so if you have larger trees on the south and west sides of your house, you can save at least 10% every month on your electricity bill because of reduced use of air conditioning and swamp cooling.
Yeah, I mean, a huge benefit right there.
Very huge benefit. And so those are just the savings aspects. The trees add value to your landscape. And so when you sell your home, a home with nice shade trees will sell for more money. But environmentally, they are saving soil erosion. So they're not doing that. So they're helping with that.
Providing oxygen.
They're providing habitat for birds. Yes. And other animals. And so when you have good habitat in your yard, you have to use fewer insecticides and pesticides because you have the healthy situation kind of keeping bad insects at bay. And I say that with air quotes. I'm not really labeling them as bad. So there's a lot of benefits to saving trees. But even when you go to a lot of the Water Conservancy districts, websites, the priority list for things to water in your yard in a drought cycle, number one is trees.
Which is going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, number two is shrubs. Number three is perennials. Number four is annuals. Number five is lawn.
Yeah, grass way down the list.
Way down. But those trees are just so critical for so many reasons that the conservancy districts who manage your water are saying, please keep your trees watered.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question about when it comes to watering in trees, you know, there are foliar applications of fertilizers and things like that, that, you know, they advertise you can put on trees. And I know they work to a limited extent, but it is very limited, right? When we have days like today where we don't have a ton of them during the summer, but when we got a lot of moisture in the air and you get these heavy rainstorms, does the tree absorb any water at all from that?
Through the leaves, they may absorb very limited amounts. You know, the leaves have what are called stomata or stomates on them, and it's basically where they open up to let the water vapor out, because those trees will absorb water. And that water has to be able to escape somehow. And so the leaves have these stomata where the water escapes. And sometimes you'll get a little bit of reverse and you may absorb a little bit of water there, but not any great amount. You know, when you spray your tree with an iron product trying to green it up in the middle of the summer, you'll see sometimes little speckles of dark green all over the leaf. And that's where the stomates were open and absorbed a little bit of iron. But that would be about the effect.
Okay. I've always wondered that, you know, because you see these foliar applications, like, well, really, how much can that tree take in through the leaves?
Yeah. And so in wetter climates, the reason you see taller shade trees in places like Oregon or the Southeast or the Atlantic states is the increased humidity reduces water use by the tree. And so in those areas, because like here, you see really commonly this time of year through September leaf scorch, because when we're in the 90s and hundreds with 10 to 20% humidity, there's sufficient water in the soil usually, but the tree can't take it up fast enough to meet the demands. And so the leaves start to scorch. And in other parts of the country where you have humidity, that doesn't happen nearly as much because they are not having to suck so much water out of the soil and they don't get overwhelmed because they can't absorb enough fast enough to keep up with evaporation from the tree.
Okay. Well, there you have it. We are going to take a break right now. But on the other side, we're going to come back. We're going to chat with Richard and Sherry, who are calling in with questions. We've got some texts we're going to help some folks out with. If you've got a question, Last hour of the show, so now's the time to get in. KSL Talk is the line, and we'll try and help you out as well. We've got some open lines, and we'll be back with more of the Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the KSL Greenhouse Show. Tom, we promised to take some calls. Let's do that now. First on the line is Richard calling in from Bountiful. And Richard, how are you today?
I'm just fine. My question is, my zucchini have been blooming for a month. Only thing I get is male flowers. And the tomatoes, they set some fruit earlier on. I haven't seen any new fruit at all now, or even blossoms.
It's been too hot. So with cooler weather, I'll bet you'll start, within a couple of weeks, start to see good fruit set and get your harvests.
We're into the tomato-making weather now.
Okay, why have the zucchini been setting male flowers for a month and no females?
It's heat-related again. When we're above 100, the squash don't like it. And so you usually will see on the squash for a couple of weeks male flowers before any female flowers appear. And it's, the female flowers are delayed. And I suspect that the female's flowers are delayed even more because of the hot weather.
All right. Well, we'll pray for a little cooler then.
Yeah. It looks like we're going to get it.
Best medicine here is patience, I think.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call, Richard. All right. Let's talk to Sherry, who's calling in from Orem. Good morning, Sherry.
Hello. I'm a bit frustrated. Myself and all of my neighbors that garden, and even as far as Payson that I've talked to, our squash are dying, and it's not squash bug. Well, I've had squash bug, but I've taken care of those. And
did you take joy in it?
You know, I take great joy in killing those.
It does feel
and
good.
The eggs.
It does feel good.
I mean, I've been meticulous, but I'm talking my banana squash, my pumpkin, my spaghetti squash. Everything has, and I finally pulled them. They start to grow a small fruit or whatever, a squash, and the leaves and everything just wilts and then turns. And so I thought squash borer. But first of all, I probably don't really know what I'm looking for, but I have this, what I thought were bees in the flower. And they're not a bee. They almost look like a winged. Would that be a borer?
No, we don't even have squash borer in Utah. We have the squash bugs and cucumber beetles, but no squash borer. So we have been seeing, mainly in Utah County, but we're seeing it farther north, a virus probably knocking squash out. I had perfectly healthy pumpkins when I went to some work meetings a couple of weeks ago, and I came home and they were yellow and miscolored. I've seen through Spanish Fork that a number of squash are exuding like weird growth and turning yellow. So I think we've got at least one, maybe two or three kinds of virus that the probably being spread by leafhoppers or aphids, but I've got samples into campus. I got them up there last Tuesday, so I'm hoping to hear back this Monday or Tuesday, and we'll get that information out as soon as we figure some more things out. But there's usually, we can't usually test viruses immediately, but we have samples in, and as soon as they result.
So I shouldn't worry about borer.
No, because it's just not in Utah.
Okay. So how will I find out that information?
We'll talk about it on next week's Greenhouse Show.
I will be sure to listen. And I love your show. Thank you.
We're only going to talk about little snippets about every 15 minutes, so you have to listen to the whole show.
Oh, darn.
No, okay. we'll talk about it.
I'm kidding. Okay.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. It's frustrating when you use a plant like that. All right, we got time for another one. Let's chat with Mike in Syracuse. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the show. Quick question. Obviously, we're on water rations here in Syracuse. I've been trying to do my part. But I'm wondering, so I've just got large patches of grass that is dead. I'm wondering if it's beetles or grubs. I go out and pull it out, and there's no no roots. It's just kind of like the top. It's just very, very flimsy. What would I be looking for if it isn't just lack of water, which I don't think it is? Is there something else that I should be looking for on that?
Yeah, so to tell if it's water, what you would do is go out a couple hours after you've irrigated with a screwdriver and mm-hmm. make sure you've got 6 or 8 inch shaft on it. And then just poke it into the ground where you have the brown spots. And if that screwdriver goes in really easily, you know it's not irrigation problems. So okay. That's number first step. The next step is to just try and get that brown grass and lift it with your hands. Just pull it back. And if it comes up with no roots, it's probably insect problems. And then the okay. third step, if it doesn't pull up and you know it's well watered, then it's probably a fungus.
So I did try a little bit of that last night, and it did come up pretty easy. I did kind of go out, and the grass was pretty wet, but I was able to pull it up pretty easy. So you think that would probably be an insect then?
I do, and if it's bilbug, yeah. They're dormant right now, so it wouldn't make any sense to apply a preventative or a chemical to try to kill them. So,
okay.
But if it's pulling up easily, now when you walk on your lawn, are you seeing any moths fly up?
No moths, but we do have a lot of potato bugs, we noticed.
Those don't really, those are neither here nor there. They're just there okay. because there's habitat for them to live. So if okay. there's no moths, it's probably a bilbug. It could be white grubs, but more commonly bilbug. So I would okay. just recommend without knowing which, it's hard to say whether to do an application of something or not. You could just grab a bag of season-long long weed killer to put it down in case there's stuff in there. But the critical time to get that lawn weed killer, or not lawn weed killer, excuse me, the lawn grub killer down is going to be sometime in May when we're consistently between 70 and 80 degrees.
Okay. So I've kind of missed that for this. This
yeah, I mean,
like a spring
just, it then. Might be a knee-jerk reaction. You could do it now, and you may or may not see any benefit. The damage is mm-hmm. done, but the critical time is in the spring when we're between 70 and 80. Now, what you could do is go and just do an internet search of USU Pest Lab sample submission.
Mm-hmm.
And download the form and send a grass sample, and they'll tell you how to do it up to the lab, and they can try to confirm if it is insects, and we can get a little bit better recommendation for treatment.
Okay. So if I've got to replant it, I assume I probably got to go out and scrape it up a little bit, get off all the dead grass. Is it better to do that in the fall or the spring?
You could prep it now and then put seed down in mid to late August.
Mid to late August. Okay.
And just treat it like brand new grass and get it going.
Good going. Okay. Perfect. All right. That's very helpful.
All right. Hopefully that helps you out. Good luck with that.
Yeah, it did. Thank you.
All right.
Hey, love the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Thanks for being there. We are going to jump out and take a break now, Ton. And on the other side of news, traffic, and weather, we're going to come back. We're going to chat with Jerry and Robert and take some of your texts. And we'll do that right after this break on KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.